Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2...
Welcome to the voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt, episode 20-22, because we skipped a week last week. Hopefully you guys had a blessed or have had a blessed and a safe week this week. Last week was Father's Day, and we had intended to spend time with family and then cut out early and you'd try to get a jump on the show to get everything together for Sunday night. But we had some family from out of the area that had traveled considerable distance. So we had kind of a little mini family reunion, and we just couldn't break away. So we had to postpone it. Now, I had done that in hopes of being able to just postpone it for a couple of days, produce something Monday, Tuesday at the latest, and get it uploaded. But then the avalanche came Monday. Real world stuff, traffic happening, lots of meetings and correspondence, and it just became overwhelming. And I was not able to get episode 20-22 out last week. So we skipped one. But that's all right. We're here now, and we did have a great Father's Day. Great Father's Day? Great Father. Yeah. Okay, so because there's so much to talk about, I want to get into tonight. I want to revisit the Islamic threat and talk about how that ties in with the Marxist and Islamic partnership. Really, what's commonly known as the red-green axis, red being communist, green Islam or jihad, and how they are working together and how Marxists are tied in with CARE, which is essentially Hamas, a terrorist organization, posing as masquerading as a human rights organization, thus the Council on American-Islamic relations. So I'm going to talk about that tonight. The news and commentary is right now here at Radio Free Redoubt. The news and commentary is brought to you by the authors Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher. Glenn is the author of the 10-book series, the 299 Days series, and she's the author of A Great State, the 3-book series, with those all out in audiobook. So you can check them out. And they're, of course, a new podcast, not so new anymore, but they're doing well with Prepping 2.0. The website is prepping2-0.com. And that's where you can hear their website, or listen to their podcast, and check out their books to order those if you have not done so already. Okay, the first one is from the Daily Caller. President Donald Trump signed an executive order Friday, hallelujah, that seeks to protect federal monuments. My only question is, what the heck took you so long? And properties by conditioning federal funding for state and local governments on compliance. The order frames the recent moves by protesters across the country to topple various statues and monuments as criminal acts organized by agitators who have traveled across state lines to promote their own violent agenda. Excellent. It's about time that that was properly applied toward real anti-American criminals. Long overdue. And also the U.S. Marshals could be used as a kind of a frontline defense on some of those monuments. So, good. From the Gateway Pundit, there's a quote here. This district attorney is charging protesters with terrorism, rioting, and assault. Again, it's about time. So a judge, protesters blamed for the violence that broke out in Oklahoma City last weekend in May, were charged Friday with terrorism, rioting, and assault. If convicted, of the felony offenses, they could be sentenced to years in prison, which is one of the options for dealing with communist revolutionary insurgents in America. Oklahoma County District Attorney David Prater made the decision himself on the charges in a get-tough approach meant to deter others from going too far during protests in the future. Prater said, "This is not Seattle. We are not putting up with this lawlessness here." Nice. A nice little dig, a little poke at Seattle, which are really embracing the communists, calling it a summer of love, which is about as delusional as you can get. I was talking to some patriots this week, and I think maybe the Fukushima radiation in the Pacific Ocean has affected the minds of the governors. Hawaii, California, Oregon, and Washington all seem to be competing with each other who can make the most retarded laws and rules. Seriously, it's like they have the minds of five-year-old children. We need to restrict everybody, and everybody has to stay home so we can all look out for each other because we care, and shut down all of our businesses. And it's like, I don't know where the adults went. But here's another good one from the Gateway Pundit. Montana police arrested a man who they said pulled down a courthouse Ten Commandments monument with a chain and a pickup truck, according to reports. Somebody does something like that. I can think of other ideas to do with this truck and a chain. But anyway, Anthony Weimer, it's not Anthony Weiner, it's Anthony Weimer, was booked into jail on charges of felony criminal mischief following the incident. Good. This was in Kalispell. Police said they responded after callers reported seeing a man on the grounds of the Flathead County Courthouse attach a chain to a pickup truck before pulling down the monument, the Ten Commandments. He's pulling down God's word, God's Ten Commandments, yanking it down with a chain. Unbelievable. Well, he's in jail. And speaking of the governors competing for the most childish, ridiculous laws and edicts, Governor Inslee announced on Tuesday mandatory face masks for everyone in Washington state. If you're in public, you have to wear a face mask. 90 days in jail, it's a misdemeanor. What is it, $1,000 fine or something? But I know it's up to 90 days in jail. It is a misdemeanor. The governor said the new mandate, which he reiterated is a legal requirement, will go into effect on Friday, June 26th, and will apply statewide to individuals and businesses. Now, this went into effect Friday. He gave the announcement on Tuesday, and he walks out on the stage wearing one of those ridiculous commie virus compliance submission symbols on his face called a mask. He pulls it down so he can make the announcement, and he says, "Thank you all for wearing your masks, and I'm not wearing mine because of the First Amendment." Seriously, that's what he said. So it just kind of built in the argument right there. Why not to wear it? Which is interesting because it wasn't even mandated at that time, but he laid out the argument for not having one on because of the First Amendment. Well, that's the same argument that I'm going to use. So we thought, we're going to push this to the test. We had some things to do, a couple small towns in eastern Washington, so we went there. No mask, walked right into the store. Actually, we went to a Safeway, and looking around, here we are, bold and defiant, looking around, and 90% of the other people did not have their masks on. In fact, this obviously a father and a son, a younger adult son, walk in with their bandana and their mask on, and they looked out of place. And so it was kind of interesting watching them, passing them up and down the aisles. And the next time I saw them, the masks were pulled down just like under their mouth, but, you know, on their chin. And then the next time I saw them, their bandana and the mask were just hanging around their neck. They were completely off. And then he was talking to some people in line. You know, this is, yeah, we kind of feel ridiculous. It's like nobody's, we're the only ones wearing them. This is after the mandate went into effect. People are not, they're not falling for it. So we went to breakfast. We went to breakfast this morning. Went to Washington State, little town, and let's go have breakfast. Nobody's wearing a mask. One person was, no, check this out. One person was wearing a mask. She showed up just about as we were getting ready to leave, and her mask says equality. Her mask says equality across the front, and then underneath that it says BLM, Black Lives Matter, BLM. Unbelievable. Like, woman, you are so out of – you stick out like a sore thumb. It's like everybody's like practically stopped eating to stare at her, and she was obviously very self-conscious, which is a good thing. Your type of mentality and thinking doesn't belong here. See how out of place it looks when you're around normal people, actual just normal human beings acting normally like adults, going to breakfast together at a restaurant, enjoying time together with friends or family without making a big scene out of it or without trying to turn it into some social justice action, which she was doing. And by the time we left, her mask was off. She looked like somebody that would just be, you know, all over the leftist blogs anyway. So this is just ridiculous. It's not going anywhere. The governor's trying to make it mandated, trying to make it a misdemeanor, a crime, a crime. Yesterday I talked about this, and sheriffs are saying this is absolutely ludicrous. We're not going to enforce this. And the governor is just livid. It's horrible when we should be ashamed. We should be disappointed in our law enforcement officers who are telling people to break the law. Well, they're not. He's telling you do not have lawful authority to pass that type of an edict. Governor doesn't get to make laws. That's the legislator's job. In even in emergency, using emergency powers, first of all, there has to be an emergency, and there isn't one. In fact, we're seeing this so-called uptick in numbers of cases. Well, here's another story. This case in point from justthenews.com. Texas hospital CEO COVID inpatient count is misinterpreted. This is a Texas hospital CEO being quoted as saying the COVID inpatient count is misinterpreted. This level of alarm is unwarranted, he says. In Texas, the focal point of national anxiety is about coronavirus' second wave, the second scam. The state counts every COVID-positive hospital patient as a hospitalization for COVID itself, which may be exaggerating numbers, you think? So a spokeswoman for the Texas Department of State Health confirmed to justthenews.com this week that the state is categorizing every inpatient in the state with a positive COVID-19 test as a COVID-19 hospitalization, no matter what they're being hospitalized for. So if you break your leg or you think it's broken, you wreck on your motorcycle and you go hobbling in there, I think I broke my leg. Well, let's test you. They're testing everybody for COVID. Oh, you're positive for COVID. Oh, so they've been admitted to the hospital for COVID-19, even though you really went in there because you broke your ankle. So, I mean, they're doing everything they can to try to milk this for everything they can get out of it. But the people aren't buying it. You go to the store, 9 out of 10 people, no mask. They're acting like normal Americans. And not falling for this fake pandemic. We're really being set up. They could drop a real virus on us, a real deadly one. Nobody's going to take them seriously at this point because they've cried wolf all year and then really get a lot of people hurt when there's a real pandemic. we're willing to follow the, we're willing to take measures and wear a mask and social distance and stay home and lock, you know, if this were a real pandemic. But I'm not even so sure that would even be a good idea unless we had a legitimately high fatality rate. Humanity has just survived so many deadly pandemics without crushing, destroying the economy, and they built up herd immunity. Here's another story out of the NOQ report. Planned Parenthood is suing Pastor Ken Peters and the church at Planned Parenthood. I know Pastor Ken Peters personally. He's a great man. He's a friend. And I love the man's courage. He started, which took off and went viral. Now they have him across the country. The church at Planned Parenthood, they show up on, you know, a given every month. They will show up on, I think it's Wednesday. Gosh, it's been a while since I looked into it. Anyway, in Spokane, they show up across the street from, or the vacant lot next to Planned Parenthood, and they hold a praise and worship service, and then they pray for the unborn children. And Planned Parenthood has been trying everything they can under the sun to try to get the church at Planned Parenthood shut down. So the idea behind TCAPP, the Church of Planned Parenthood, is to protest the murdering of babies in the Planned Parenthood abortion clinic through the worshiping of God, prayer, and the preaching of God's word. They're literally having a church service in front of Planned Parenthood. So the pro-abortion counter-protesters, mostly angry, yelling vulgar obscenities, and even going so far as to try to sell selling an effigy of Pastor Ken Peters during one of their fundraisers for Planned Parenthood. Even the police that show up are saying there's definitely a distinct difference between the two groups, the people that are the Christians and the pro-murder group. But over the last several months, Planned Parenthood's tried every possible way to intimidate Pastor Ken and the TCAPP into silence. They filed injunctions against them. They got the city council to pass a noise ordinance in an attempt to silence their services, and even gone so far as to try to purchase the public land in front of their building where TCAPP meets for their services. So Planned Parenthood's claiming that psychological trauma is being implemented onto abortion seekers by these conservative Christians showing up to sing hymns and pray after hours. This is after hours. They're praying. They're holding these services after Planned Parenthood closes. They just can't stand it, man. It's the demons in these people are just making them go absolutely berserk. Breitbart News said this is our urban utopia report. 11 people shot in under 12 hours in the Democrat-controlled New York City. Let's see. Further down, at least 20 people were shot, 7 fatally, in Mayor Lori Lightfoot's Democrat Chicago over a 24-hour period that began around 4 p.m. Friday, June 26th. The Chicago shooting deaths, including a 1-year-old boy who was shot dead while riding with his mother. This place is just chaos. Democrat-controlled. Godless, Democrat-controlled cities are in absolute pandemonium. Unbelievable. Oh, they tried to get Vice President Pence. They tried cornering him to get him to say, so you don't think Black Lives Matter? Well, during an appearance on CBS News, this is from TheHill.com, during an appearance on CBS News on today, reporter John Dickerson asked the vice president why he refused to say the phrase, as demonstrators have called on him to do. So he said, look, as a pro-life American, I believe that all life matters, born and unborn. But what I see in the leaders of the Black Lives Matter movement is a political agenda of the radical left that would defund the police. So the reporter says, leave that out of it. Just the phrase. We just want to hear you say just the phrase. But anyway, Vice President Pence continued on saying that, you know, these their efforts would tear down monuments that would press a radical left agenda and support calls for the kind of violence that's beset the very communities that they say they're advocating for. So that's what the reporter's getting frustrated. He says, so you won't say Black Lives Matter? Dickerson went on to ask. And Vice President Pence said, John, I really believe that all lives matter, and that's where the heart of the American people lies. Period. He wouldn't say all Black Lives Matter, which drove them absolutely nuts. Well, we got one last story here from Rhino Pack. Rhino hunters of the Pacific Northwest, from their Stark Raving Mad page. Citizens fighting back, 28 June 2020, Louisville, Kentucky. Insurgents at Jefferson Park in Louisville, Kentucky, were met with gunfire last night, apparently from armed civilians attempting to protect the park and its statues from the Black Lives Matter mob. While it is not clear who actually fired the shots, well, at the time of their writing, it is actually clear they have somebody in custody. But at the time of this writing, they wrote, this is Stark Raving Mad writers wrote this, while it is not clear who actually fired the shots purportedly came from an area where armed open carry civilians were on watch. Two insurgents were hit by gunfire. The first at Jefferson Park died at the scene. The second, some distance away at the Hall of Justice, was transported to a local hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Initial reports indicate the open carry civilians quickly surrounded the downed Jefferson Park insurgent in an attempt to protect him from further harm. The possibility the entire incident was staged as a false flag operation by the George Soros-funded Black Lives Matter mob cannot be dismissed. It's good. You can see that and more over at rhinopack.org at their Stark Raving Mad page. They do a good job. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back here with segment two. I'm going to start diving into some of this. Where I left off yesterday, the Seattle mayor linked with CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, in fact, endorsing CARE. Recently, the same leftist communist mayor who received financial support from this Rampart group, supposed private investigation group, who concluded that all of us patriots over here are engaged in domestic terrorism. There's a big fat surprise, right? Well, that's the Seattle mayor, Jenny Durkin, friendly with Hamas-linked group CARE. We'll talk about that and the red-green axis when we come back. Stay right there. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Unnecessarily, now we have over 120 million dead from COVID.
Have you lost your damn mind?
Over 120 million dead from COVID.
Lying, dirty, shrewd, godless, murderous, determined, and it is not an American political party like any other. It's an outlawed organization, taking its orders and instructions from another government to do everything possible to destroy our government.
When you get right down to it, nothing good has ever come from any government that promises to be all things to all people. This is especially true when it comes to our safety and well-being. Sometimes I cringe at the nanny state mentality of the globalists, socialists, and otherwise anti-Americanists who think they know better than ourselves just what's good for us. That brings to mind another great quote from the late President Ronald Reagan when he said, "I don't believe in a government that protects us from ourselves." They've forgotten the warnings of our founding fathers and so many others who have gone before us, who have warned us that it's not ourselves we need protection from, it's the government itself. And why shouldn't we listen to those voices? I mean, how could 400 million dead citizens worldwide in the past 120 years be wrong? I'm Violet Sabo, with points to ponder, words to live by, and ideals which define us.
Renegade.
Thank you.
Welcome back. Coming into segment two of The Voice of the American Redoubt. Segment two brought to you, of course, by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate. Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping folks just like you get strategically relocated to the panhandle of North Idaho. If that's where you've got your sights set, they're helping folks all the time. Make sure you prayerfully make the decision to make your strategic move to the American Redoubt. Figure out where it is that you need to go. Somebody asked me a question. They said, hey, I'm moving to North Idaho here in a couple months, fleeing occupied territory, God-fearing patriots, no intentions of Californicating North Idaho, which is a good thing. That's what's going to get your tires slashed. I'm just kidding, mostly. So, yeah, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots are welcome. Communists are not. It's about as simple as that. So this listener asked, hey, I'm moving there, and I, you know, can you recommend a good church? I'm looking for a good church. I go to Calvary. They go to a Calvary church. And yes, there is there are several Calvary churches in Kootenai County, Bonner County. I'm not sure exactly where you are moving. He didn't indicate. But yeah, there's several great churches up there. There's the Kokolala Cowboy Church that's up in Bonner County, just south of Sandpoint. In Coeur d'Alene, there are several great churches. I know that Candlelight Fellowship in Coeur d'Alene, strong patriot pastor, just a great man. Tim Remington over at the Altar, another great patriot and a pastor, black robe pastor. So there's several around. Let's see if I can put together a little list. I have to review that. And then there's a Calvary Church up in just north of Hayden, off of Highway 95. Another really good one. There are several around. So now, let me see what I can do about putting a list together. And of course, somebody's going to be offended because I didn't mention their church, and their pastor's a patriot too, and you never mentioned. Well, sorry. Doing my best here, but yeah, any of the Calvary churches, these guys really, they've got it going on. And the Kokolala Cowboy Church, and then what was the other? Candlelight Fellowship, or two that just, there's three there that just come right to the top of my mind. Oh, and Tim Remington, he's a state representative as well, and he was the pastor that did the opening invocation for, who was it? Ted Cruz, I believe. And he was shot in his parking lot. Guy tried to assassinate him, this pastor, and shot him with a .45 auto, just unloaded on him, practically at point-blank range. And miraculously, the Lord decided, I'm not done with this man. He's my servant. And he pulled through. He survived it. And quite the guy, Tim Remington. So that's also in Coeur d'Alene, his church, The Altar. They have a great recovery ministry there as well. So, there are some good churches in the area. All right, now, before I get to this, something else, too, I wanted to mention. I wanted to clear something up and then apologize to a patriot. You know, when you're doing radio, sometimes, your mind is just, your synapses is firing and you're thinking, you know, on your feet as you're going. And sometimes we stick our foot in our feet in our mouth, and sometimes we just don't say things the right way. Of course, you're your own worst critic. You know, afterward, you always wish you would have said something different or better or whatever. But a couple of weeks ago, I was covering. This is really important. So maybe I will. Cut down this the red green axis information, and to make time to deal with this issue here. Let me back up. A couple of weeks ago, I really went off on the Patriots for the way the information is being reported, and I was just being bombarded with a lot of erroneous intelligence, stuff that was being passed as information, intelligence about what Antifa is doing, or Black Lives Matter, and they're doing this and they're doing that. And these guys were, you know, there was a 18-wheeler confiscated AK-47s, and Antifa has been arrested, you know, by Idaho State Police, which didn't happen. And, you know, so I picked one example out of the air on the fly, and that was a text that was sent out that said, Antifa are being bussed in from Portland in response to this Liberate America rally. So I picked that, and I wish I would have picked a different example, because there's definitely better examples to make my point about how we need to clean up the way that we're reporting information. I went through the steps about how to properly report intelligence and vetting it, you know, and using a salute report, size, activity, location, unit, time, and equipment, right, to report any type of hostile group, adversary that you might need to report to other people. And then diving into who, what, where, when, why, how many, and go to the source. So this individual sent a text, and I used that as an example, but it made it seem like, you know, this person totally blew it the way I presented it. And I didn't use the person's name, but several other people who are in the listening audience also received this text, so they knew who I was talking about. And I did it wrong. I mean, I used the wrong example and the wrong person's example and the way I presented it, because this person who sent the text to me has a long established pattern of being a reliable source who vets the sources for news and runs things to ground. And so it came across like I was targeting that person, like, you really screwed up, you didn't vet this, you sent this out. But this person who sent it to me, always, I can trust what this person's saying. What I'm saying is, the information this individual got that passed on, what I was telling the Patriots is, we need to go back to the person that you got it from. This person didn't do anything wrong. They just passed on, this is what I got, this is raw information. And I know this person, when they send something that's raw and unverified, they're also working on it to verify it. So they're kind of keeping you ahead of the loop. So I used the wrong example and the wrong person, the wrong source to me for this example. So anyway, what I was saying to the Patriots, when you receive something like that, go to the person that you got that from and say, who told you this? How do you know this? Well, I got it from Joe Blow. Okay, great. Put me in touch with Joe Blow, because we need to run this to ground before we pass it on to elected officials, local law enforcement that we have established relationships with, local pastors, leaders, and large groups of patriots that look to us for reliable information. Before I pass this along as, you know, concrete written in stone, you could take this information to the bank type of information. Before I pass that along, go to who sent that to you and ask, where did you get this from and how do you know this? What other information do you have? Well, that's all I've got. I got it from Joe Blow. Okay. Put me in touch with Joe Blow. And let's go back to Joe Blow and say, who, what, where, when, why, how many, when, everything, and run this to go. Well, Joe Blow says, oh, actually, this was a buddy of mine whose friend works on the police department. And, okay, put me in touch with buddy of mine, because I want to talk to buddy of mine next. And we need to find out where this started. So then you go back to buddy of mine, and he's like, well, I just saw it on a chat group that they might be coming over, and so... well, the point is, you run this stuff all the way down to the lowest level until you, so you can confirm it and verify it. So if you have an individual who has an established pattern of putting out erroneous information, and we have them in the network. There's folks that we just don't. You just you smile and you nod and you say thanks, and then you just kind of move along, because I have known people in the past who continuously reinforce a pattern persistently of giving bad information. And you just simply do not use that. And I'm encouraging you, if you have that kind of person in your life, that's they're always giving you some type of dramatic, sensationalized thing where the sky's falling and they want you to pass it on to everyone else, the stuff that never happens, it never materializes, they make no effort to vet the information, you need to blacklist them. You need to actually let them know, I can't, your stuff has been wrong so many times, I can't pass this on. You're telling them, I can't use you as a source for information anymore. And sometimes people just need to be told that. This individual that I'm referring to, who passed on that text, was a bad example for me to use. It's a good example, except in this particular case, the way I did it made it seem like this person totally blew it and screwed up and everything else, and they didn't. For those of you who know who I'm talking about, I need you to know that this person did nothing wrong, and I completely presented it wrong, as if the individual sent that text out made a huge mistake and blew it, and they didn't. So anyway, I just want to make that right. And so I'll be meeting with the appropriate people to make sure that things are right, especially in this particular case. Because this is a friend and somebody who has a long proven track record of being reliable and does vet these sources and is working. You didn't even have to ask. They are working it. They just say, this is what I got so far. Boom. They drop it in your lap. You don't have to follow up. They're just on it. They're on it and they're running this to ground, and when they have more, they will give it to you, you know? And, so anyway, there you go. We got to be careful. I have to be careful. I understand that. And that was just one of those foot in my mouth moments. But there are some legitimate, there are really truly some legitimate things that need to be addressed among the Patriot community. Because most people do not run stuff to ground. They're quick to pass things along that are not information along that's not vetted. It makes us all look bad. It makes us look like overreactionaries. And it's tempting. We're all tempted by it because it is dramatic and things are unfolding and everybody's, Antifa is coming. Well, Antifa or whoever it is. And a couple of weeks ago, the police verified that they had credible information that Antifa and Black Lives Matter were coming to break stuff in Coeur d'Alene of all places. The symbol of the central heart of fascism in their mind, so that they wanted to penetrate deep into fascist territory to show us that we weren't safe anywhere. And they did have scouts. We have pictures of them, known Antifa members that were in Coeur d'Alene, acting peacefully, but they've got all their garb and all their gear with them, and scouting ahead of the rest. And as it turned out, the police contacts that our patriots had that were corresponding with, and I mean retired law enforcement personnel who are patriots, who have friends and relationships with those in law enforcement in the area, were confirming, yep, it was solid. And that's about all I can say on that. So that was not overreactionary, and there is a lot of credible information out there. We have to learn how to sift through it. And that's all I wanted to say. I don't know. It's kind of hard to unpack all that. But I want to make sure I did that the right way. Hopefully I explained that well. For those of you guys who know who sent that text out, they are solid and reliable and always have been. I have no reason to believe they will not be in the future. They didn't do anything wrong. It's the person who sent that out to us, including this individual. That's the person it needs to be gone back to and saying, what the heck? You expect for us to do something? This is not actionable intelligence. It needs to be a lot more here in here. So anyway, all good there. But certainly we don't want to make sure that, or we want to make sure there's not division and the turning on of each other within the Patriot community. Right now we have to be united because there is a real adversary out there that is working to destroy us. And more than any other time, we need to be united. We need to be unified. And we need to be pointed at the right adversary. One example of that is the Seattle mayor, Jenny Durkin. There's an article that came out in Natural News about her ties to CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations. I want to share a little bit of this with you. Many people have been wondering why Seattle Mayor Jenny Durkin has no problem with anarchists taking over six blocks of her city in what's known as the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. Not only is she doing nothing to stop it, but she even seems to be encouraging them. Yes, she's a Democrat, but her behavior makes a lot more sense when you realize that she actually has a long history with another terror-related group, CARE. As Lumard.com points out, the Council on American Islamic Relations, or Relationships, or CARE, has ties to Hamas and works closely with an anti-Semite who vocally supports Sharia law. Linda Sarsour, an unusual group for a bisexual mayor to support considering Sharia law's punishment for homosexuality. A photo was posted on CARE's Washington's Twitter page in 2013 in support of Durkin, the mayor, who was a U.S. attorney at the time. She met with this chapter several times last year and tweeted often about how Seattle welcomes asylum seekers, immigrants, and refugees. In fact, Durkin often retweets posts from CARE National. CARE Washington and the Coalition of Immigrant Refugees and Communities of Color. Now, if you guys aren't real familiar with CARE, let's talk about that a little bit because it ties in with exactly what's happening right now in our country. I want to encourage you to go to Center for Security Policy. I've used their articles and writings. I've referred to them a lot. I attended a briefing that was put on by these folks. Outstanding research, former Alphabet Soup agency patriots who are now private, working their own private information and intelligence enterprises, not the least of which is centerforsecuritypolicy.org, talking about stuff that they couldn't get away with talking about while they were in service of our government, not to breach getting political. Well, now they're able to do that, and they're able to warn us of things that they were otherwise muzzled and unable to talk about while they were serving. So centerforsecuritypolicy.org, go there and just type in their search box, type red, green, axis. Now there's another one, another page, I've mentioned this often, unconstrainedanalytics.org. Unconstrainedanalytics.org. There is an article there titled Requiem for Minnesota. When does a state become a counter state? What they're talking about is the confluence of Marxism on the left and the Islamic movement. And they say warning on racism argues that the neo-Marxist left and the Islamic movement will use the 2020 election cycle to escalate the delegitimization of America, the Constitution, and the electoral process. It will do this through interoperable, interactive hate speech narratives that integrate the left's quote-unquote hate speech with the Islamic movement's Islamophobia memes. And this individual in Minnesota, Keith Ellison. Keith Ellison is the Minnesota Attorney General. He has a Twitter page where he has a picture of himself holding up the Antifa, anti-fascist handbook. And this is what he tweets. This guy's been a strong proponent of Islam in an Islamic, heavy influenced Islamic state, a state with a high Islam population, I should say. And Minneapolis, of all places, has a very high population of Muslims, namely Somalis. So here's this attorney general holding an anti-fascist handbook, and he says, this is what he tweets, at Moon Palace Books, and I just found the book that strikes fear in the heart of Donald Trump. And he's got a grin on his face, taking a selfie, holding the Antifa book, saying, this is the book that's going to strike fear into the heart of Donald Trump. In January 2018, the Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison endorsed both Antifa and their tactics of intimidation and violence. CARE announced the release of a video on YouTube in which Ellison, this attorney general, endorsed and fundraised for CARE. In the video, he introduced himself as the attorney general and hailed CARE as a civil rights, human rights leader while invoking war on racism memes. So, just to break this down for you, as far as I'll continue on here. Where am I at? For unconstrained analytics. I want to read on a little bit. Both the Muslim Brotherhood writ large and CARE, both the Muslim Brotherhood and CARE have clearly expressed their revolutionary intentions regarding the American electoral process. Yet, this is the organization that Minnesota's Attorney General raises funds for in the run-up to the 2020 election. At the same time, there's little question about the revolutionary role the left intends to play in this election cycle. As George Soros recently stated, quote, even before the pandemic hit, I realized that we were in a revolutionary moment where what would be impossible or even inconceivable in normal times had become not only possible, but probably absolutely necessary. That's George Soros. Quoted in LifeSite News in May 15th of 2020, about 6 weeks ago. With Ellison's specific alignment to the neo-Marxist Antifa and the Hamas-inspired CARE, it's hard to reconcile the support and defend mission of Minnesota's Attorney General with the overt revolutionary intentions that he signals. A red pill assessment of where Ellison will come down on this seems reasonably straightforward. I want to come back from the break. I'm going to talk about going to Minneapolis City Council, disbanding the entire police force. They've already passed a resolution. I think they got 2/3 of the vote, if I'm not mistaken. And it was unanimous. I'll pull that up. That's what I want to talk about when we come back. So what are they going to replace it with? And you know what's really sad is that while they have essentially disband the police, the city council has what, $4,500 a day private security for them, but no police. This is out of control. Stay right there, folks. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is looking good at home, man.
Out of control.
This is looking good at home.
The free world must embrace its national foundations. It must not attempt to erase them or replace them. Looking around and all over this large, magnificent planet, the truth is plain to see. If you want freedom, take pride in your country. If you want democracy, hold on to your sovereignty. And if you want peace, love your nation. Wise leaders always put the good of their own people and their own country first. The future does not belong to globalists. The future belongs to patriots. The future belongs to sovereign and independent nations who protect their citizens, respect their neighbors, and honor the differences that make each country special and unique. It is why we in the United States have embarked on an exciting program of national renewal.
We are an exceptional country. Our religion, and I will say it, is exceptional. That's what made us great. So don't be afraid to talk about it, because that's what it means to be an American. The world is looking to us for leadership, not President Obama, us. The people in Ukraine aren't looking to the federal government. They're looking to all these local governments for leadership, and it's going to come from us.
Back to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is segment three of Radio Free Redoubt, broadcasting and streaming from the Free Zones, deep in the heart of Patriot territory, where even the police feel safer than, and the police are happy to be living in the American Redoubt when there's thousands of armed patriots ready to stand by the man in blue. And, of course, we also don't tolerate unlawfulness from among our police either. I mean, we would stand against police brutality and the abuse of authority. But we don't see a whole lot of that. It does happen. And it's usually the exception, not the rule. And those things are handled. They're held accountable. But communists are not going to come into our communities saying F the police and try to break stuff in Patriot territory. It's just not going to be tolerated. And we're grateful. And our police are grateful as well. And just like they said, let us be the frontline primary response if something happens. You guys consider yourselves the last resort measure if needed. Like, we're good with that. Absolutely. It's the way it should be. That's what we pay them for. You guys deal with it. But if you get overwhelmed, overran, they start bashing in our police's heads in and burning stuff and pouring lighter fluid on you and lighting you on fire and you're overwhelmed, well, there's backup. So anyway, this segment is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design, designs to help keep you safe, to help you thrive on your property and get the most out of it for survivability, defensibility, food production, alternative energy, water procurement. They do it all. If you're looking for the right piece of property, you know the goals that you have, but you really don't know quite how to go about doing it, and that's what they do. They are consultants in that area to make sure that nothing is overlooked. To make sure you meet all those goals for, Strategic Landscape Design. That's the website, strategiclandscapedesign.com. Now, I want to cover, oh, by the way, there is a petition going around to recall the Governor Little for all of the unconstitutional items that he's tried to enforce. This is pretty cool to see this happen. Several legislators, they didn't have enough to make a quorum, but I'll tell you what, it's really cool to find out who the patriots are and who they are not, and who are not. But really quick, the Idahoans for the recall governor of Brad Little you can go to redoubtnews.com. And there's a great article that's posted over there written by Kathy Rose. And it discusses the recall, the Idahoans for the recall of Governor Brad Little. Idahoans for the recall of Governor Brad Little is a statewide grassroots recall effort born of the conviction that the governor's stay-at-home directives violated cherished basic civil liberties enshrined in our Bill of Rights. We have been denied the foundational rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Freedom of worship, denied. Freedom of assembly, denied. Freedom to work, denied. The right to due process, denied. The right of a jury trial, denied. Right to privacy, denied. Access to public property, denied. Access to education denied. Now, of course, I say shut the public schools down anyway. They're nothing but propaganda mills for the leftist Marxists. But even the private schools, Christian schools, all of that, it was not allowed to continue on. There is an effort to recall the governor for pushing for unconstitutional edicts when it was not even necessary, when there wasn't an emergency. Several state representatives showed up in Boise, including Representative Judy Boyle, Christy Zito, Ron Mendive, Heather Scott, Tony Wisniewski, Terry Gestrin, Tammy Nichols, Dorothy Moon, Priscilla Giddings, Tim Remington, Chad Christensen, Vito Barbieri, Brent Crane, Mike Kingsley, and Paul Shepard. If they are your state representative, Idaho citizens, contact them and thank them for standing firm. They needed 36 members to convene a quorum and gathered not quite half that many. Instead of passing a concurrent resolution putting an end to Governor Little's COVID-19 84 orders, they passed a proclamation read by Representative Vito Barbieri. So what they were trying to do is gather to convene themselves into session to discuss what most citizens feel are unconstitutional and illegal orders given by Governor Brad Little. So the governor is supposed to be able to make quick snap decisions when the legislature is not able to convene to deal with an emergency. And so he's passing things as if they were law and he's not a legislature. Well, you're supposed to be able to have that power until the legislature can convene. Well, they tried to convene. There were some that were AWOL. If you didn't hear that, those your representative listed, they were probably AWOL. Not talking about senators. These are state representatives. They gathered to try to curtail some of the action items that he was exercising his governor authority power to create laws. It's not his job. He's not a legislature. That's what the legislature's for. So anyway, I want to get back to this real quick, and then this will be kind of a somewhat of a short segment, a few minutes, and we'll bring on Lady Liberty for segment four. Talk about some other recent developments that have been taking place, but there's a lot here to this green-red axis. I want to point you to shine some light on some of this. I've just got three sentences I'm trying to say at the same time. But from the conservative treehouse, the Minneapolis City Council is considering disbanding the entire police force. So I want to share this with you because we're talking about the green-red axis here. Islam and Marxism joining forces together. Isn't that stunning, too, to see a LGBTQ equality parade with Muslims marching with the homosexuals in the same parade to stand up for equality? Totally otherwise incompatible lifestyles that are converging together to stand against what? Against what? Well, I mean, what are they uniting together against? Inequality? Are they standing together for justice? No, this is the world against our King, Christ. But he reigns. He reigns supreme. And he's going to set everything right. But in the meantime, Satan's minions are going to really try to get things stirred up. And that's what they're doing. Now, once you understand the larger objectives, everything becomes a sequence of predictable events. The term community policing, this is what Minneapolis is talking about implementing, has been used for several years by groups advocating for radical changes to law enforcement. However, behind the innocuous phrase is really a much more serious agenda. If each community can determine the enforcement of law, then essentially all communities can eliminate the underlying law itself. Remove local enforcement of law and the local community can independently assemble a social structure separate from all other binding contracts that frame a larger societal compact. Well put. This is well put. This is from the conservative treehouse. This community policing process is already taking place in many European communities. The results, create what are known as no-go zones. This is what I mentioned a couple of weeks ago. Neighborhoods and entire parts of cities where local Sharia compliance enforcement officers have replaced the police force, and the rules, regulations, and enforcement are detached from the larger societal compact, like in our case, their constitutions and our state laws. Considering that Minneapolis has a large concentration of Somali Muslims within the local population, it makes sense that the approach is now discussed for their city. And this is what they said. Several of us on the council are working on finding out what it would take to disband the Minneapolis Police Department and start fresh with a community-oriented, nonviolent public safety and outreach capacity. When they say nonviolent, don't believe it. Whenever communists are talking, don't believe it. When jihadists are trying to advance Islam and they say that it's all about peace, don't believe it. Because deception is the cornerstone of how they conquer. Communists and Islam, both. It's deception and lies, which is permissible, especially for, or including for Muslims. As long as it's used to advance Islam, lying is okay. And so is deception. So you cannot trust what they're saying because they've just historically lied. What they said, how it was going to be, if you just give us a chance to show you, we're just going to do this, this, and this, and they're liars. So over at understandingthethreat.com, which I've talked about a lot, write that down, understandingthethreat.com. John Guandolo, former FBI, counterterrorism, specifically focused on Islam issues, the spread of Islam and jihadi actions, terrorism, took a lot of heat. He's been under a lot of, has been attacked a lot, was ran out essentially because he was a agent during the previous President 44 administration under the president who shall not be named on the radio. So, understandingthethreat.com has a great article. Care is Hamas. This was in May of 2019, just a little over a year ago. And I've mentioned this before, but it bears repeating. CARE is Hamas. The following is a small portion of the evidence identifying the Council on American Islamic Relations, CARE, as a Muslim Brotherhood organization operating on behalf of the designated foreign terrorist organization, Hamas. Summary: among the massive amount of evidence entered into the largest terrorism financing trial ever successfully prosecuted in U.S. history, the U.S. versus Holy Land Foundation for Relief and Development, what they refer to as HLF in this article. So the evidence is laid out that Hamas, CARE is Hamas. It's a Muslim Brotherhood front under the guise of human rights, advancing human rights, and just trying to get us to all get along, is a Hamas front. It's been proven. How they continue to be able to exist in America, I don't know. But all of these Marxist leftist governors, mayors, and other individuals who are being praised by and praising CARE. They're speaking at each other's events. They're locked arm in arm together. It's the red-green axis that the SPLC points to us saying, conspiracy theory. But they're liars too. They always have been. They are now. They always will be. Although throw out some true statements and then intermingle half-truths and lies and everything else in with it so they can just enough so that they can try to get people to say that they're not lying. We don't, they just have no credibility anymore. Anyway, I want you guys to go to understandingthethreat.com. And I want you, if you have not done so already, every American patriot needs to have read this evidence and this report, understandingthethreat.com. And it is, look for the, search for the article titled CARE, that's C-A-I-R, CARE is Hamas. May 2019. CARE is Hamas. May 2019. It's a PDF. Download the PDFs and preserve it because they're trying to wipe out the internet archives. You're talking about a purge of our history and overthrowing monuments and flags and symbols of our national heritage and our history. They're doing the same thing on the internet. Did you guys know that? Internet archives. I pulled up, I had an article. Maybe I'll talk about it this this week or this coming weekend. Scary. I mean, they are going all out trying to completely erase our heritage and our history so they can rewrite it. A whole new, brave new world. Anyway, that's enough for you guys to chew on there. There's your reading assignment for the week. We're going to take a quick break and come back with Lady Liberty and talking about some of the updates, some of the research that she's done, and some new developments and things that in the American redoubt you need to be aware of. All right, stay right there. We'll be back with segment four right after this.
There is an exodus happening in America today, from cities full of crime and corruption to the rural areas of clean and sustainable living. Like-minded patriots are coming to North Idaho in search of a simpler, self-reliant lifestyle. I'm Chris Walsh, broker and owner of Revolutionary Realty, based in the heart of America's great redoubt, North Idaho. I became a realtor in 2008 at the bottom of the real estate market, but not the top. I believe that there is a grand plan and that I'm just a part of it. My job is to help people discover and relocate to America's great redoubt. Call a revolutionary today at 208-667-1776 or visit us at revrealty.us to learn more. That's www.revrealty.us, and God bless you.
Welcome back to the fourth and final segment of Radio Free Redoubt, here broadcasting from the Free Zones. This is segment four, which is brought to you by Werks Holsters, WERKZ.com, for your custom Kydex holster and magazine carrier needs. Made right here in the American Redoubt with a lifetime guarantee and all their products. Werks.com is where you need to go to get more information and support a Patriot-owned business. Okay, so here we are in the fourth segment. A lot of stuff going on this week. There are several reports now of China just this week. Now, it basically confirmed. It's another report, which is just an affirmation of what we already know, that they are have achieved first strike capabilities, nuclear capabilities. Of course, there's a lot of discussion in these stories that are coming out this week as far as the electronic warfare, EMPs, and this type of thing. So we're talking about a whole system of weapons systems integrated really with the intent of focusing on taking out our, you know, electrical power grid, satellites, first strike capabilities with nukes. Although we've been going through this speech by Comrade Chi Haoshin and also reading up on unrestricted warfare, but it's very clear now. It is very clear that they, despite what they claimed about not having a first strike policy, it's true they do. And maybe not with nukes, or at least not nukes on the ground. But EMPs, nuclear warheads from space, are definitely right up there, along with deadly viruses and electronics warfare or cyber attacks. So this is the kind of stuff that's been kind of coming out. But also how they've been getting involved in our politics. So they are trying to affect the elections and flip states. And they're doing that through universities and education, Trojan horses, really. And so, Lady Liberty, thanks for being with us on the fourth segment once again.
You're welcome. Nice to be here.
Yeah. So, am I too far off base? There's new developments here as far as how they're trying to infiltrate into our universities and using that to affect our elections, specifically this November's elections?
Oh, you are right on target. That is exactly correct. They, we're seeing Confucius centers being introduced to universities, and in particular the University of Idaho in Boise and also into Coeur d'Alene.
Coeur d'Alene?
Yep, that's correct.
A Confucius Center.
Yes.
Okay, so now I didn't know about this until you started doing some research and sharing some of that with me. The Confucius centers are not just Eastern philosophy. It's China, the Communist Party of China's, I guess their university outlet to kind of train the foot soldiers in the political war, for on the ground political action, right?
Right. They're offering quite a bit of things where students, there's foreign exchange options now with Chinese students, and
right.
where they would be over here for at least a year, and so directly from China, and they're offering other courses in things like Chinese culture, the language, teaching Chinese, this kind of thing, even right down to martial arts.
So, of course.
Which,
now, are they using these Confucius centers as a recruiting pool for American students that are sympathetic toward China and communism to be involved with the canvassing programs that they've been doing to flip elections, like they did with Virginia, and that they're trying to do in like five other states? Is that kind of where they're getting their worker bees from?
I think in the regard that you're referring to, I would say that the universities are already sympathetic to anything communist, right?
Sure.
And so what I've read so far on these Confucius centers is less about that and more of the opportunity for university students to kind of embrace and learn about the Chinese culture so that they're more welcoming towards them being here. And they might also pick up the language themselves so that, that would be another form of acceptance or welcoming as well. And where the University of Idaho at Boise is talking about, let me just read this little bit that they have posted on their website. It says, "In order for our graduates to be globally competitive in the career world, they need to have some intercultural competence that comes from having firsthand engagement with individuals from very different backgrounds and cultures," Bruick said. "These experiences help prepare our graduates to be global citizens," which Ooh. Is a term I just made me cringe. So to be global citizens and be globally competitive and celebrate a global perspective. We also know from employers that those are precisely the kind of skills they are looking for from new professionals who will be successful in jobs and careers. And so I take great opposition to that paragraph alone.
Yeah, no kidding. just the term global citizen.
Right.
Well, hey, when you get your COVID-19 immunity passport, that will be one of the prerequisites to get your global citizenship passport. That'll open up all the borders for you right there, being a global citizen.
Right. And so when we're paying all this money to the University of Idaho to send our student, our kids there to learn a career, right?
So you think.
Are we sending them there to become global citizens? No, I think not.
No.
I mean, sure, if they want to travel, go for it. But that, they're not there to be trained to be a global citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Sadly,
they're being trained to be global citizens.
Exactly. So.
Wow. Okay. So what's going on in Coeur d'Alene in North Idaho? I mean, because North Idaho, Southern Idaho, it's leftist. I mean, it is much more blue in Southern Idaho, I should say.
Well, from what I understand so far, with the extension in Coeur d'Alene, it's looking like it is predominantly a library availability. And so I'm not sure the extent of what's available in Coeur d'Alene. It's just that they are, I mean, Coeur d'Alene is included in this Confucius Institute that is working through the University of Idaho. So,
oh, they're University of Idaho has an extension campus, extension office up in Coeur d'Alene, yeah, North Idaho College.
Right, and so what they're doing in Boise is, you know, to some extent being duplicated in Coeur d'Alene as well, from what I can tell. But just the fact that it's happening at all. And one other thing that I caught on one of their websites, there's quite a few of them, actually, quite a few different addresses here for all of this if you wanted to look it up. But in one of the descriptions, they're talking about how the professors had really great interchange with Japanese educators, and that whole page said nothing about Chinese anything.
Wow.
And so I thought that was interesting, considering this whole Confucius Center is Chinese, right?
Right.
And so under this Confucius Institute, now they're suddenly omitting China and only referring to Japan. So, you know,
wow,
is this reflective of maybe
a little bait and switch?
Yeah, like a little bit of a change of attitude because they see the attitude changing towards the Chinese. I just had to pause and wonder for a second. But
very interesting. So. Yeah, because people are generally, in their mind, mentally, they're much more open to the Japanese culture than China. You think of communist, you know, a lot of people still are not accepting of communism. So, what a great way to sneak it in.
That and the fact that we've got the Chinese virus that is shaping everybody's opinion of the Chinese quite a bit lately.
Right.
So now suddenly it's just, all things Oriental?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess.
So it gets the Japanese because they aren't responsible for the Wuhan virus, right?
Right. So here's a thought that I've had lately. I just wanted to bounce this off of you and see what you think. China is talking about trying to change our politics. Oh, no, they are doing it. They're directly involved with trying to flip our states, and they have flipped Virginia. They've got five other states in their crosshairs,
right,
to affect political change. Now they have the advanced party in the United States through Confucius Centers getting people to warm up to Chinese culture, Chinese language. But at the same time, we have a globalist Marxist Islamic coalition, the green red axis, right?
Right.
Which China sees itself as having dominion over those. They actually see themselves, they should be the world leaders.
Right.
Or the globalists think we should all be holding hands, singing Kumbaya, and we're all just global citizens. Though the Marxist communists, I can see oil and water here, where it doesn't seem like, well, of course, you wouldn't think that the LGBTQ whatever community would be merging with Islam, but China doesn't like any religion.
Right. Well, and so the fact that they would suddenly be embracing the Muslims, right? That has to go back to the fact that, look who's still really in charge. It's the UN, right? And still the same communist base, so they're buddies. It's just
right.
That, you know, as much as China is trying to be dominating in the UN, they still are both saying the same thing. And we already know that the Muslim population has a huge amount of control in the UN. Huge.
Yes.
And so they're all sympathetic toward each other through the UN. And, you know, the odd thing is that the UN views the Islamic religion as unsustainable. So,
right.
So we know how the UN views people that they just plan to use. Right.
Right. You know. So the Chinese are trying to take operational control and influence over the UN.
Right.
Like through the Human Rights Council and the
World Health Organization.
The World Health Organization. So it's almost as if that from your – you've done a deep research into the United Nations. And what are your thoughts on really essentially China just simply tolerating and using – Islam as a tool to create the chaos and then with intentions of just snuffing them later?
Well, exactly. That's those people. Well, first of all, the UN uses people on a regular basis, and they call them useful idiots. Right. And so we have to be aware that that's their MO. That's how they operate. They use people like weapons. And so anytime any of them can use some group of people to target whom they want to get rid of, they do. They use them like a weapon.
Right.
And so if the Muslim population is looking at America as the great scourge, the nation of infidels, then of course they're going to approach the Muslims and encourage them to help them get rid of us, right?
Right.
China has their sights set on America right now, and they think that they should just be able to, in that letter that we went over, that they should just be able to ask us to leave, and that we will. And
right,
then the Chinese can just zip on over here and move into our houses, right?
Yeah, because they're so merciful. They're going to give us a chance to just leave America.
without obliterating us or being way more brutal and ruthless than the Nazis were to the Jews, right?
Right, right.
So,
wow, very interesting. So, before we wrap things up, is there anything else, any parting shots, research and things?
Well, yeah. There was something rather appalling that occurred on the 21st, which was the summer solstice. And that's a pagan holiday that is celebrated by all of the satanic worshipers, the Luciferians, right?
Right.
And so I got a notice that that they were all the Luciferians had organized worldwide parades, where in these parades they had one message across the whole world, and that was that they said today is the beginning of the one world government, and the new world order. And
right.
so the fact that that is backed by the Satanists should be a very, very blatant statement to all of us.
Oh, yeah, one world government.
Yeah, one world government, new
Absolutely.
World order, under the United Nations. And so if you didn't think it was satanic before, I mean, that's their biggest, a huge supporter of this whole idea. And they declared that to be the first day on June 21st. And so there was 22 parades that happened in the United States across 22 different cities. And the only city in all of America that canceled that Luciferian parade was in Las Vegas. And so everywhere else it happened. And I guess they canceled it in Jerusalem in Israel. Also, they canceled it there. So those were the only two places where the satanic parades were canceled. And
unreal.
Yeah.
And that was their official declaration of the first day
of the one world government.
One world government.
Yeah, which
we're
is always
close.
That has always been Satan's goal anyway. I mean, we haven't seen that in biblical history since Nimrod.
Right.
And he was the one that did the Tower of Babel and Babel, and they, God destroyed it and sent all the nations away with
Scattering.
Different languages. So,
Very interesting. And so there we are. So right now, this is the season for us to be sharpening our sword, as in the Word of God.
That's right.
Being in the Word of God.
Yep.
That's our spiritual weapon.
Right.
Prayer and the Word of God.
And the armor of God. We need to put on the armor of God.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And it wouldn't hurt to, on the physical side as well, to buy another case of ammo.
I thought you were going to say work out, get prepared.
Yeah, well, that too. Yeah, I mean, that's what you and I have basically been saying. We're on the doorstep of a war.
Yes.
And we are at war, but it just has not come to our front yard yet.
Right. Although it is underway, and we're recognizing what's going on with China. They've got their sights focused on us. And I did run across something that I'll just touch on briefly here. Maybe we can go over it more later. But they're talking about China wanting to move in on Taiwan, and that being a stronghold and supported by America and especially the Trump administration. And so they're looking strategically at Taiwan and wanting to basically move in and take over in Taiwan right now.
Yes.
And so what that would mean for us would be a strategic advantage by China that they say would happen prior to any attacks in America from China.
Right.
And so I thought that was interesting because that might just be a clue as to, you know, what to watch for.
Sure.
And know that the next phase would be, you know, then they're coming to our shores. Right.
Yep. Yep.
So we need to keep our eyes on Taiwan and, you know, just beware.
Yep. Beware. Stay ready. Get in shape. We haven't even begin to discuss the global recession and, you know, the collapse of the whole monetary system. More gloom on top of the doom. And, but, you know, we're just running out of time very quickly and try to get ourselves in the position, you know, as best as we can
in
all facets of our lives. So
that's right.
But right now, it doesn't cost money to get on your knees, to be in the Word.
Right.
You know?
And you hit it directly on the head when you said, you know, be on your knees, be in prayer, be as close to God as you can be. And, never stop seeking his counsel, his guidance, and repenting and just remaining close in the Word.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, hey, thank you, Lady Liberty, once again. I look forward to doing it again next week. We got a lot more stuff to cover and a lot more stuff that we're researching and discussing and going over. So we'll do that.
Okay. Sounds good. I'm looking forward to it.
All right, everyone. Once again, this is, what is this? Episode 22. No, 20-22. There we go. Got a little backwards there. The 22nd podcast of 2020. And you guys have a blessed and a safe rest of the week. And don't forget to tune in right after this. You'll have the Political Church with Lady Liberty. You got, you're still there.
Yes.
What number are we up to now with Church?
Yeah, we're on the fifth episode. We didn't get a chance to play it last week because our live streaming was not in cooperation.
Right, yeah. We had some...
We're under attack.
I agree. Of course, last week was Father's Day. So, you know, we just postponed the whole thing. So,
yeah.
Episode 5 of The Political Church with Lady Liberty right after this. So you guys have a blessed rest of the week. Stay safe. And thank you guys for your prayers and your letters of encouragement. And we'll see you next Saturday on KTW on the American Christian Network affiliate Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot, then my name is your name too. Good night.